Board of Supervisors will convene.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Chaplain Bradley.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Good to be here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for opportunity to gather here this morning, conduct business of the county. We truly appreciate those who serve faithfully in all of the agencies throughout our county. Thank you for the leadership of our Board of Supervisors. And Father, we just acknowledge that we have a great country and a great county where we can live and participate. And I pray, God, even as we approach the election time, that our citizens will take the responsibility that is theirs to be active in the government and speak their minds. And Father, thank you for that opportunity. And we'll be great, careful and grateful and to think about and respect all of the blessings that you've given to us and to give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and County Service Area 4 and receives no additional compensation. We'll do a roll call. Supervisor Howe?
Present.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Copstaff?
Here.
Thank you much.
We are at item 4, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments can be should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I have no blue cards up here. Anyone in-house? Last call for public comment. Seeing none online.
Showing none online.
Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda, item 5. I would, before you go there, I'd like to pull E, G, and H.
Okay. So Valenzuela for the balance.
Sure.
Have a second.
Second.
Oh, thank you. All righty, Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren. And Supervisor Copstaff.
Aye.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So on item 5E, we're contracting with Siskiyou Union High School District for services, but the services seem they're broad, they're not defined well. Why is that, one? And two, it looks like, has this contract already gone into place? I know it was, it looks like it's going through June of 2025, but when does it start?
So this round with MHSA, we RFP'd for a 3-year period, but we're contracting year by year because there's so much volatility in that revenue source that we don't necessarily know. So we didn't want to contract for 3 years. And there's also a lot of flux with regard to the provider community. So we are contracting year by year. So the contracts, they provided services last year with a 1-year contract, and then we're renewing that contract, and they will be providing services this year. With regard to the specificity of the contract, so that particular provider, though there has been a change in leadership in that district, that particular provider has provided counseling services and initially proposed to provide groups, but that did not happen in the last contract cycle for a variety of reasons having to do with there not being a provider available. So anything that contractors provide, they need to clear through us. So they contact the MHSA provider and propose to provide girls circle or boys council, or, you know, as an example, and then we sign off on that. But because there are so few providers and resources in the community, and this year, as I think you know, there's been, they have subcontracted in the past with FRCs and other types of providers. So there's just a lot of flux in the provider community. So we want to leave it broad enough that, you know, if providers are available, they can provide those services, again, going through the MHSA coordinator before we authorize them to move forward with any of those types of services.
So in the last year where it sounds like the services couldn't be provided, was there, I'll call it a refund in the contract amount, or did it carry forward?
We are contracting at the same level as we did last year, but they underspent last year.
So where does that underspent dollars go? Does it come into this new contract, or does it, do you see where I'm headed?
Yes, I do. So this year, there were changes in the providers, and we wanted to move contracts forward so that we, you know, services could commence. They typically, the services that are provided under MHSA prevention or early intervention start with the school year. So we wanted to move things forward. We told the providers that we anticipate we'll have additional revenue and we would do an addendum mid-year once we were sure where we were ending up. And so we would come back to you. We want to get those funds out in the community and want to increase that if we can. So we will come back to you if we have additional resources available. We maintain status quo.
So I get why you contract with, I'll call, nonprofits, but with regard to the school system itself, they don't have enough funding to be able to provide the services that you're contracting for currently?
They historically have not had funding for counseling, like behavioral health counseling, as opposed to like educational and career counseling. So we have contracted with them both in Wairika and in the past couple years in the Mount Pleasant School or the Siskiyou Union High School District. Because they haven't had those resources. Now they are, you know, in the future it's anticipated that they will be able to bill for services provided on site through both private insurance and Medi-Cal, and so this is a transition time. So, and these funds will no longer be coming to behavioral health once BHSA goes into play in July of 26. So for the next couple years we're going to provide that funding.
I get that, you know, I just used the moment to, you know, at least indicate that, you know, the schools get 68% of the property tax revenue countywide. They also have a $4 and something square foot for new construction. So I'm just, I guess, a bit amazed that they don't have enough funding for the services you provide. Lastly on this, with regard to AB 1955, that if it's not repealed and takes place January 1, that essentially removes parent authority from their children through the school system, why are we contracting with an entity like that that for the very programs that you're talking about would require parental involvement at some point? How will you address that?
We require parental engagement now, right?
Understood.
Yes.
But the new law would take effect January 1. So how would you deal with that?
Excuse me. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Michelle
Brown? Oh.
Supervisor Howe.
It's just a follow-up on that. So would there be a change in the parental notifications? Would that trigger a revision in the contract on your part?
Yes, probably. There are some existing exceptions. So I need to go back and I can bring that back to you.
Okay.
And I will bring it, if the law goes into effect, I will certainly come back and have that discussion with the board.
All right. I share the same concern.
Yes. Understood.
Would it be better to come back on this altogether, knowing that, or do you want to move forward on it?
I would like to move forward just because the school, you know, there's the need in the schools and they're anticipating us.
Okay.
Is there a different issue with Michelle Brown? It's a different type of contract.
But that's a different question for you.
Yes.
But let's finish up on this one.
Oh, okay. I thought we were finished. Okay.
All right. So what's the wishes of the board?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
The uncertainty, I don't know.
No? Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsen?
No. On item, which one you just mentioned? I'll go to G first before we go to H. The only question there is, again, it's broad in what services are provided. And I know there's some that are named in this. I just have difficulty with writing a check for carte blanche on whatever they at least meaningfully get to a service. I think the services should be more defined versus just open-ended. So that's my only concern on that.
Understood. And again, they contact us before they provide any service and put in a, and then we say yay or nay, and then they provide that service, and then we reimburse them.
Okay. Thank you. Move to approve.
Second. Quick brief discussion. You know, it might be helpful when we talk about these things that they kind of give us where they are and what they've done.
Okay.
I'm going to use the PAL League as an example. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, you see that what I would call typical from this board. It would be helpful, including me, to see what did we follow up? Did they do what they said they were going to do? And here's an example of what they did.
And I can tell you, and I can also ask them to come back and share that information with you, whichever.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. On item H.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsen?
Aye. And then on item H, I'm not clear if this is retro in the pay scale that's included in this or if it's from this point forward.
So we had a contract in place with her. We are required in our substance use program to have a review by a licensed professional of the healing arts. So she conducts those reviews for us because she has expertise in that area, and there's only about four or five or maybe six, including myself, licensed people at behavioral health at this point, and with the exception of one, we don't have that expertise. So we contract with her to provide that expertise. We can't, so there is some retro pay in there because it's a guesstimate, right, of how many clients will be accessing services and therefore how many cases she'll need to review. So we underestimated this year. So a portion of that, and then going forward, she continues to review those cases.
And this might be semantics, but I know that through our negotiations, we denied any retro pay to the units within the county, even to those that received less of what I want to call in kind donations that we've done to like EDC, that they were reduced. So I get where you're coming from, but the message for me is a little bit difficult when we've indicated no retro pay for anyone else. So I'll leave it at that.
Understood.
Thank you.
Which is the word?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsen?
No.
Thank you.
We are item six, public request. 6A is Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County.
Giselle Nova with the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County, and we're here today to give you an update on two grants that you all sanctioned and approved and wrote us letters of support for, and we thought you should know what we're doing with those funds that we've received for these grants and where we're going with them. So I'm the coordinator for the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County, and this is Josh Bean, and he is program manager for wildfire mitigation for CORE, Community Organized Relief Effort. CORE is a nonprofit mitigation group that is disaster mitigation, including wildfire. I'm sorry for my voice. So, to start out with, you all sanctioned and approved a grant for county coordinator, and that for the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County. These funds could have gone to the county, but you said that we could take them through our Fire Safe Council, which almost all counties have done. And with those funds, we've been able to build our capacity. We've hired three people. We've got Kristen Norman, and she has been my assistant. Then I hired Ruby Churchill, who's been doing some back office stuff. And then we hired a contractor, Sarah Niss Consulting, to work with our financials and keep everything up to grade and all of our grants coordinated financially. So the objective is to develop, was to develop, and is to develop a countywide collaboration and coordination amongst the wildfire mitigation groups. And we got $175,000 the first round. And then we reapplied for the second round and was able to receive $199,000. And we've been using those appropriately and judiciously, and I think we're doing good things. We built a consensus of wildfire mitigation groups, and we've been working with that. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And go ahead and move to the next slide. So through our coordination efforts, we've done a lot of outreach and education concerning wildfire mitigation. In 2024, we did 24 events. We had 35 days of outreach. We count each person that comes to the booth. We have a little clicker. And we've engaged 2,200 residents, and kids engaged was 800. Emergency alert signups were 324 through all of these outreach efforts. So that's nearly one quarter of the population of Siskiyou County that we've managed to reach through this effort with wildfire mitigation information. Right here in the Post Mill Fire is what you're looking at. This was the Worm Burner Golf Tournament. Rain Rock approached us and asked if we would do a fundraiser, or if we wanted to partner with them to do a fundraiser for the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County. We raised about $35,000, and we gave that money back to the Mill Fire footprint, to those folks there. And so far they've spent, about 10,000 of it, and they removed 114. They fell 114 trees. They've yet to take the debris away. But those were burn trees that were part of the Mill Fire, so they were able to do some mitigation there. Next, please. We've been invited to several educational opportunities, including the McConnell Foundation grant writing training, where we were part of the panel and we had a part of the discussion to help others learn how to write grants and to do similar things that we're doing. We want to get as many people on board doing this kind of stuff as we can so that we'll have a better opportunity to reduce wildfire in our counties. We'll never be able to get rid of them totally, but we can sure help people be more aware and start working on their mitigation and be more resilient. Next. So, we had Aware and Prepare opportunity. This is Julie Titus. She put on a workshop for the agencies and all those folks that are interested in wildfire mitigation. The public was also invited. We had a full house. It totally packed out. And we talked about all this wildfire mitigation stuff that we're so into. So next. And then we formed, and this is what I want to talk to you about, a wildfire mitigation group. We had our first meeting. Is that me?
You want to, what, yeah.
I need to take your hand on the microphone.
Do what now?
You can take your hand off the microphone.
Okay. Okay.
There we go.
All right. So this mitigation group was, we invited all of our partners to the table, and you know, it's what we've discovered is that we're writing grants for the same spots, for the same money, through the same name. So we wanted to all get on one page. That's only one thing we wanted to do. And we don't care who does it. We just want not to repeat our efforts, and so that everybody is doing good things simultaneously in the right silos. And this group was very engaging. They were very happy to be part of this, and we're going to be meeting again in November. You all are welcome to be part of this. We're going to talk about where we want to focus our efforts as wildfire mitigators and educators, and what we're going to do. So the Forest Service was there, Cal Fire was there, Shasta Valley RCD, and many, many others were there, as Siskiyou Prescribed Fire Association, and we all had a good talk about how we are going to move forward in making our efforts more productive and targeted to what we need to be doing. And so anyway, you all are welcome to come to the next one, and it's at the Klamath National Forest. We're thinking about November 7th, but we might have to move that because of some people not being able to attend. So we would love to have you there and get your opinion and input. And it's also a hybrid meeting, so you can come via Zoom or otherwise. So good things are happening, and we're partnering. And we've been doing a lot of partnering within our agency, too, within the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County. We're working a lot with Shasta Valley RCD. They're doing some of our vegetation treatment plans. They're helping us with some of our CEQAs and some of our grant management. So they're just one that we're working with. Go ahead, next slide. Oh, this is just another outreach. That's Kristen right there. She's been a great help, and she's like a outreach guru. She's really good at this kind of stuff, and she's standing there, and she gave away one of the core evacuation packs there. Go ahead. And then we went down to Happy Camp to the Youth Fire Science event, and we've also acquired Reddy Raccoon. He's our mascot, and he has a curriculum, and the kids just love him. Next. And we went to the Klamath River Community Hall Pavilion dedication, and that was a great outreach. Next. And now, Josh. I'm going to let Josh take over and tell you what he knows.
Good morning, Board. My name is Joshua. I'm the program manager for the Community Wildfire Defense Grant, and I'm hired through CORP, as Giselle mentioned. We're a nonprofit organization that's focused on community relief efforts and things of that nature. We started this grant back in 2028, and the funds are through the U.S. Forest Service and partnered up with the Fire Safe Council. This Fire Safe Council and CORE relationship started back in 2020 in Dunsmuir on a pilot project that was successful, and then went after this Community Wildfire Defense Grant. So that's how we got here today. It's building that relationship on this pilot project, and then advanced on this bigger grant that, again, is running until 2028, just under $10 million. So we're focused on public outreach and education. That's what we mainly hit the ground running with back in April of this year. Defensible space assessments, and then we got this goal of implementation of defensible space on 500 homes countywide. And then fuels reduction, we got some money for some roadside fuels reduction. That's about 74 miles, 50 feet, both sides of the road, focused on entry and egress for both the public and for response efforts. So yeah, gaining participation to the project. Residents need to sign up. That's how they initiate the process. And so going out to different events, getting that participation, but also paired up with education, where we give out materials, everything kind of wildfire related, whether that's home insurance, which is a big topic statewide, or to what kind of strategy needs to take place depending on your fuel type that you have. Are you in oak understory? Are you up in the conifers? Are you in the grasslands? So we're focused countywide, and we're looking at the different places that folks are living. And then we're also focused on getting those emergency alerts out there that are provided through OES, so paired up with Owen from that office, and making sure people know their zone and things of that nature. So far, 21 events, we've engaged 1,780 residents with 266 home assessment signups. So those are gonna kind of self-populate, looking really good on that target. And then emergency alerts, 342, which is fantastic. And then those kids engagements, 801. Those kids engagements, super important. They've actually been fantastic and grown on me quite a bit, just providing them either OES materials, FEMA materials, whether it's coloring, how to make their go bag, and just planting that seed early. We held our first workshop at the Forks of Salmon, which was fantastic. We're looking at engaging this community with home assessments, but as I mentioned, we need residents to sign up. So what do? We meet with community partners out there, such as the Salmon River Restoration Council, kind of brainstorm, what does your community have going on? What are some concerns? Where do people gather? What do they like to eat? And then hold a workshop to get people involved in, again, the education side, and then also our project side, and listening to what kind of concerns they have. You can find us at the Montague Hot Air Balloon Festival. That was back in September. Golden Fair, another good example, out in Orleans, making a drive out there, interacting there with their elementary age school children and other partners that were in the mix. And these home assessments. These are free home assessments to anybody who would like one. We're using a software called Fireside, and it develops a report that is sent out the next day, and these reports are extremely private. It's just between the homeowner and the Fire Safe Council. We look at home hardening aspects of the house, windows, roof, materials that the building is made out of, and then the defensible space, where we focus on that first 100 feet, looking at those three zones. And we're just giving out recommendations. We're not enforcing anything. It's great when the homeowner is able to walk with us, because we could create different conversations of what fire could look like on their property. Because again, we can't stop fire, but what we could do is just change the behavior of fire as it impacts the, or if it impacts the home or the property. We've completed 36 so far, and these home assessments will turn into and help us identify those implementation houses that we'd like to improve their defensible space on. The goal of 500 homes, it's a big goal, but it's definitely doable. A lot of work to get done here in the county, a lot of residents that we could help out. And we're looking to target low-income or vulnerable communities. Siskiyou County has a high elderly population that can't necessarily do this work, so we're looking to help them out there, not trying to get people up on ladders to clean out gutters. We have funds to help people do their defensible space, take care of those ladder fuels, and then also folks who can't afford it. The proper tools to do this work are quite expensive, or to contract that work out is also expensive. So helping folks out that are also low income or in a tight spot. We'll be obtaining landowner agreements and then contracting this work out locally. It'll go out to bid, and we're looking to target local contractors and just try to keep local business, local money, and help those business owners out as well. Roadside fuels, as I mentioned, this is going to be very important, especially as we get back into some of these river communities, mountainous communities, where some of these fuels are overgrown. Evacuation, we hear annually, is an activity that unfortunately folks have to partake in. So focusing on the entry and egress of roads that will help people evacuate safely and also allow those first responders in safely as well. 29 communities that we're looking to focus on in the county till 2028. Big goal, a lot to chew on. So where do we start? Matrix was developed where we introduced these factors into the matrix to help us kind of pin down where we should start. This year, we've been focused on three communities, and that's Cecilville, Callahan, and Hamburg. And then we'll move on from there. But looking at fire severity, fire history, and the wildland urban interface was a big part of it. You know, Wairika has a large urban interface compared to that, as Hamburg, which comes with different pros and cons. Ongoing hazard mitigation work, as Giselle mentioned, very important that we're all on the same page as other project goers, so we're making things connect and make sense, not overlapping projects or having funds go to waste. And then looking at income as well was a major part of that, looking to target, again, those vulnerable communities that call Siskiyou County their home. Some of our partners we've been working with, OES, been big on those emergency alerts, pairing up at events, the Ford Family Foundation, they have these great mini grants helping us provide food for the workshops that we've been at. The U.S. Forest Service not only has provided money for this grant, but just working with their local agencies, the Klamath National Forest and the Shasta Trinity, has been a huge help. And then the RCD, as Giselle mentioned, a growing relationship there, American Red Cross, and then those local fire safe councils. I just want to point those out. Those have been a major help. You know, the Fire Safe Council of Siskiyou County is a big umbrella, and then it's broken up into these really small communities where a lot of local knowledge lives. So just shout out to those local Fire Safe Councils. Thank you for listening. That's all I have for the CWDG. If there's any questions for Giselle or...
Sure, hold on 1 second. Any questions from board members? Go ahead, Supervisor Chris.
Yeah, I think CORE, is that Sean Penn?
Yeah, CORE was developed from Sean Penn of the Haiti earthquakes back in the early thousands, and then has since grown.
And you guys did those very first early call?
Yeah, the pilot project paired up with the Fire Safe Council. Did the pilot project in Dunsmuir, and then there was also a small response to the McKinney Fire, just helping clear driveways and get supplies out to some folks.
I'd like to point out that Josh is a local who came to Siskiyou County and put out a request for someone to do this position, and we've also... they hired Greg Randazzo. He's an AmeriCorps fellow. They brought him on, so he's helping Josh. And we did have another gal, Diane Lynn, and she's since we're looking to they are looking to replace her. And so, if you know, what's the name of her position?
We're looking for a program coordinator to fill the position.
And you can find that on our website if you know somebody that would like to apply for that position. It is open. And again, they're hiring local Siskiyou County folks for these positions. Local knowledge, again, is very important, so that's why they're doing that.
Well, thank you. And then to continue, the town of Tenet's still there?
It counts.
And part of that is because of the work the Fire Safe Council did a few years back.
Well, thank you. Thank you, yes, and not only us, but the Forest Service. So we partnered with the Forest Service on that one, and they did the Forest Service side of that fuel reduction, and we did the private side, and it did help to save the town of Tenet. Yeah. Thank you for recognizing that. And along with all the firefighters that moved in there, I'm not discounting that. Those
guys
those guys were great.
State OES and everybody was there, but having it knocked down, well, you know, those were there, but knocked that out, not quite a bit. At events, I've noticed Christine at events, very good at outreach.
Thank you.
At those.
Thank you.
And then I appreciate how you're countywide, too. It's you know, east, south, north, it's the whole countywide and most vulnerable areas.
Yeah. Yes, and, thank you.
And for the home party, those areas, are you, for the 500 homes, is it each individual home? I'm thinking of like a McLeod or a Braid or even Kako. Are you trying to target towards one area to protect a whole bunch of homes, or are you trying to do individual homes for the 500?
So for the implementation that we're doing, it's just on the defensible space. I think the home assessments do cause some confusion because we go look at the home hardening. I just want to make that point. So for the defensible space, when we move into a community, such as your example of McLeod, depending on the signups and the work that is available, ultimately, it's great to have these residents sign up together to where it's continuous work, creating something of like a buffer. But we won't, if there's just an individual out there that needs the work and they're solo, we won't neglect them just because they're not part of the larger group.
And again, these are for the underserved citizens of Siskiyou County, so you don't have to be low income necessarily, but we're looking to that as well.
He answered fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Supervisor Howe?
Yeah. Good morning, Giselle.
Good morning.
So you mentioned three towns that you worked with that are all in my district, so both Galvan and Hamburg. What I'm interested in, I guess, is when you talked about the cooperation with the Forest Service on those lands, I'm interested in the cross-boundary work because those parcels are pretty small, and frankly, the western part of the county and in my district is the public lands is the biggest threat to homes, as we've seen in the fires recently. I haven't seen that work reflected in their program of work, so I'm interested in what they've actually done to aid your work on their lands adjacent to these public lands in those three communities.
Right now, go ahead.
Nothing so far that I'm aware of as far as the Klamath Basin strategy plan that they have. I know a big intention of that is to focus on those borderlands that butt up to residential. And then, you know, our 100 feet, if it does extend onto Forest Service land or anybody there's land, it would just come down to communicating, getting clearance for us to perform that work within their defensible space.
So we're working with some of the folks there, with Jen Erickson, Clint Isabel, and a couple of the other wildfire strategy folks to look at those lands, and they have come on board. And so it's kind of a planning. This is where our matrix took us. So we developed this matrix, and it took us to Cecilville, number one. It took us to Callahan. And so we contacted them, said, what do you have going on? These are the highest priority so far. And they're looking to partner with us. We're trying to lay it out, look at it on a map. So we don't have it all exactly on track yet, but we are working with them to make that happen. And Ray, you're welcome anytime to join those conversations to see where we can pull it all together.
Well, I'd like to know exactly, I guess, what you're doing in those communities because staff and I meet once a month with the Forest Service in coordination of work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to keep some pressure. I'm also trying to integrate the CAL FIRE unit plans so that all of this work is actually effective on a cumulative basis rather than plus.
I think for ours might be a little different is we have to get the landowner participation.
Sure.
So we've reached out, and people that respond to us are who we go to. We don't knock on doors. We've got a lot of stuff out there to bring them in, flyers, information on our website. Josh has done a lot. I think you've done some door-to-door, haven't you?
Hamburg, we've sent out mailers.
Yeah. Sure. And so, anyway... It's dependent on the citizens. If you could encourage the citizens to get in contact with us, Josh will come and give them a home assessment. We'll determine whether they will fit into the program. Again, it's free to the landowner. We're going to do their zero zone, the 0 to 5 foot. We're going to clean that up and do defensible space per 4291 as much as they will let us. Some people say, you know, I don't want the trees removed. We're going to try to talk them into limbing up their ladder fuels, moving all of that vegetation away from the house as far as we can get it, that kind of stuff. But we've got, a lot of people don't want that. They don't want their vegetation managed. But we want to manage it as best we can.
They may when they get their home insurance canceled.
But, well, and
just as an FYI, there's a fairly large CAL FIRE unit grant in my neighborhood over in Scott Valley, but defensible space is not a piece of it. It's treatments as the owner sees fits, but there's no assessment work that's done prior to it. And it sure would be nice to have your software associated with the work that they're attempting to do and maybe convince people that they need to do this work because the participation from homeowners so far has been pretty low.
Do you have a name of anybody who's in charge of that?
Yeah, Larry
project.
Alexander.
Ray Alexander?
Larry.
Larry. He is the grant coordinator.
Thank you. Yeah. And you mentioned you look over Callahan and Hamburg?
They're in my district.
Okay. So far with Callahan, hoping to have a workshop at the Grange. So been in communication with some folks through the Grange. As mentioned, that's kind of how we're trying to introduce ourselves to the community. And then with Hamburg so far, we found great luck attending the Scott Barr Fire Safe Council meeting, which was a few weeks ago, and trying to bloom from there. But any suggestions on some of these smaller communities? Hamburg has been a little bit of a challenge for myself, getting in communication with folks out there. But let me know.
Since you mentioned it, Brian Shoney, our OES director, he and I are coordinating wildfire evacuation center grants for both the Granges in Scott Valley. And so that work's going on as well for community protection and wildfire resilience standpoint.
I had a hard time hearing you. Sorry, Ray. Who's the contact there?
Brian Shoney.
Brian Shinoni?
Yeah.
Owen's boss.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Also, you're welcome, Ray, to coordinate with Josh. He'll leave his phone number here, and then Josh coordinates with me. We meet twice a week to see what's going on and keep up with stuff. So, anyway, any other questions for us? And you know, you're welcome anytime to call any of us. Check our websites. We have a Facebook and we have a regular website, firesafesiskiyou.com. Check that out. We try to keep updates on that. And
Supervisor Obrin.
Yeah, thank you. I had the pleasure of attending that wildfire mitigation group, and it was a lot of good work was done there. We spent hours having conversations about coordination, mitigation, fire, fuels, and there were a lot of great introductions done. We had some new people show up that we haven't met yet that are now real integral parts of all of this conversation. And this topic, Ray, was part of it. And we had a lot of really good conversation about it, and that's what kind of got the ball rolling with all this. So it was really good work, and I look forward to the 7th. It's already on my calendar if that's the date that we're going to have the next one.
Yeah, there's one important person that wants to be there that can't, so we'll see if we can work that out or not. But
we'll get out a new date quick because the calendar's filling up.
I know. Yeah, mine too. So, yeah.
So hopefully we can all, you know, find another date that works. And the last 4 years that I've been involved with the Fire Safe Council, I do really appreciate all the work you've done and the coordinating and the information that you do try to get out to the public. I know it's a frustrating situation where people don't either listen or try to get the information themselves. You can hand it out all you want, but if people don't take it, there's nothing you can do about it. So you can bang on doors and you can get it out there as best you can, but it's difficult when people don't take it. So hats off to you for sticking with it. I know it's difficult. But you've had a lot of success, and I hope you continue with that. And your grant writing is clearly good because you've managed to get a whole lot of money, and now you're actually able to perform, which is really great to see. You've done some great work.
That mitigation group is in also thanks to you all for the coordinator's grant. We spent coordinator's funds to bring that. That was part of what we wrote that we would do, is bring wildfire mitigation professionals together and get them on the same page, and so that was part of that funding. So thank you for supporting us and for signing those letters of support. Ed has always been right there, and so has Nancy. All of you have, Ray has, and you all have. So just thank you for your support. And anyway.
So I know you don't have the authority, but I'm asking if you have the influence with regard to the Forest Service. I'm going to use, I guess, evacuation routes. I'm going to use McLeod, the Mount Shasta Forest, the old military pass road. Flood over there, close that road. Forest Service hasn't opened it up. And yet, it is a method of evacuation for some of those residents out there. And I'm asking, so in some of these projects that you do, are you able to identify something along that nature and at least influence an end result or not?
You know, we can always talk to them. So Joe Rodarm is the new district ranger, and he is very open to us and what we have to say. So I can approach him from our angle. Michael, if you could just maybe give me a little paragraph about what it is that you're asking, and then I would have the words to present to him exactly what it is you're proposing, and we can begin a discussion. Like I said, he's very open. I wouldn't doubt that he couldn't do something. So
basically, it's just keep the roads open after disaster. Yeah, military pass road is in the middle up there above Mount Shasta Forest.
Right. Is it close, so you can't make the circle?
Well, you can't go through there anymore. You'll have to double back down to Pilgrim and go around.
Oh.
But it's just from the flood from a couple of years ago, from the mud flow. So I don't know. They should be open just for that public safety factor. So.
Right. Well, okay.
Chris,
that's a discussion.
Are you saying Pilgrim Creek Road is scheduled?
No, military pass road. You can't go all the way through because of the boulders and the mud flow that came through there. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate your support.
I do have some examples of the outreach materials. Could I leave that with somebody?
Sure. Okay. Yes.
Through the chair, I have an urgency item that I'd like to add to the agenda.
Thank you.
The title of the item is Conference with Legal Counsel Anticipated Litigation Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Initiation of Litigation Pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4, One Case. The reason for the urgency item is that after the posting of the agenda for the Board of Supervisors meeting on October 15th, 2024, County Council was advised of facts and circumstances related to a matter for which the board's direction is required as to whether to initiate litigation. The next board meeting is not until November 12, 2024, and direction regarding this matter is needed before the next regularly scheduled board meeting. Therefore, staff requests that the board determine by a two-thirds vote of the members present today that this is an urgency item pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2B2, and it be added to the agenda.
And is this for closed session?
This is for closed session.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the reminder as well.
So I'm looking for a vote from the board.
Yes, so I would move, and I would second.
And Chris and Kopsek, add to closed. All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren? And Supervisor Cups?
Aye. Okay, we'll move on to item 7A, General Services Airports. Good morning.
Good morning. Joy Hall here, Director of General Services, to give you an update on the airports. For WEED, we have retained outside counsel to assist us with the WEED airport, and we are taking steps to ensure that the surety and the contractor are being held responsible for the increased costs that are happening there. We have gotten the temporary path to the fuel farm has been placed, and I want to give a big shout out to Public Works, especially Gazelle and Mount Shasta, for helping us out and getting that done so quickly. The last thing that we need to do is paint some hold lines and a center line so that we can open up to transient planes so that they can come in and get fuel there. Out at SIY, we discovered a water leak out there last week. It's under asphalt, so it's a pretty significant big one. We were able to get a shutoff valve put up so that the Forest Service and CAL FIRE still has water to their facilities. However, we had to get a porta potty for the other side by the AWAS building over there. We are waiting for a quote from the plumbing department or the plumbing company. It's more to see if it's more feasible to have it completely replaced the line or to dig up the asphalt. Kind of thinking that the pricing is going to be about the same, but we want to get a quote just to make sure go with what's fiscally responsible for us. Other than that, there are no reportable items on Shasta Valley, or excuse me, Scott Valley, Happy Camp, or Pew.
Okay. Questions from anyone? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. See you back in a minute.
7B, Public Works Department. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Tom Deaney, Director of Public Works and Road Commissioner. I'm here to give you a brief update on Cocco Road and items pertaining to dam removal. This will be similar to all the other updates that I've given. I have a bunch of before and after pictures of the road, and then I have some other things I need to talk about shortly. So, blue highlighted road, that's Copco Road, and that is the area affected by a dam removal. Next slide, please.
The entire blue strip, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So you'll see in almost all of these pictures, the small is the before, the large blown up picture is the after. And this is just showing the effects that it's had of dam removal and the heavy load traffic that's had on the road. It is important to note that the roads were not in great shape right before we started, but they're in far, far worse shape now. They were passable when the project started. Next slide.
Do you know what the rating, what our rating was for that road?
So I looked back, and unfortunately, we have calculated ratings. We don't have actually surveyed ratings. The rating has been at when we started at around a 15, which is in the failed category. But if you were to measure it now, it'd be a zero, right? The road is impassable. And some of these are harder to see because of lighting issues. This one is showing that while there was patching and blown out, it is now extended past one full lane into the second lane. Next slide, please. Similar issues to all the others. There was a little bit of damage, but now we're down to native material in multiple sections on this piece of road. Next slide, please. This particular problem is happening in numerous locations on that roadway. It was broke out before, as you can see on the picture on the left-hand side, but now that breakout has extended all the way across and is nearly touching the shoulder on the other side, which is making it almost impassable if we don't continue to go up there and throw more base in that hole. This is another one where we're down to less than one half of one lane. We're down to less than one lane of passable roadway. Next slide, please. This one, the shoulder has been eroded, eating up over 50% of the lane width for well over 100 feet. Next slide, please. Oh. So that's all the ones that we include in the presentation. Now I'll talk about what we're doing about it. Please keep in mind that from the start of dam removal to today, we have spent over $330,000 in maintenance on Copco Road. And as you can see by the photos, it's not enough.
You're talking county resources.
Siskiyou County Public Works has spent $330,000 on roadway, and that is men, equipment, and materials. I do not calculate any admin cost into that, but if we were to calculate that cost, it would be much, much larger. I spend a large portion of my time on this one rural road in the county. That money's not enough. My entire budget wouldn't be enough to keep the road in the condition that it needs to be in. We did meet last week, a week ago today, with KRRC, because they are demobilizing the dam deconstruction portion of the team. They will be out either October 31st or roughly, or that first week in November, they'll be removed. We wanted to know who is going to be responsible per the MOU for road work. We have started discussions about possible fixes for the road, and those discussions are going better than previous discussions that we've had in the past. We're starting to get some movement there, which is great. One idea that was floated and then rejected was they did talk or ask about, have we considered taking that road down to gravel and maintaining it? That is not something that I'm going to entertain for two reasons. Reason number one, the selfish public works reason, is graded roads, gravel roads are a pain, right? I spend more maintenance hours on gravel roads than I do on asphalt roads. It's cheaper, but I don't want to do it. I don't have the manpower to get that done. And reason number two is those folks had a paved road when we started, right? And that is it's worth something to not have to drive on gravel. So we're talking about other solutions, restoring the road to original condition for 14 miles past Klamathon Dam, which would cover every single house on that road. They being KRRC, did mention that they weren't sure if they were the sole cause of all the damage, and they pointed at the power company, Pacific Power, as part of the reason. The stance from the road commissioner is it doesn't matter, right? The power company wouldn't have been out there if they didn't pull the dams out, and if they want to go chase those fellows down for some more money, then they're welcome to do so, but that's not the county's burden. But all that being said, it was a positive meeting, and I think we're moving in the right direction. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions? Supervisor Howe?
Just a couple. I'm starting to get inquiries, not complaints so much, and they understand kind of what's going on from the residents that are actually below the fish hook. You know, because a couple weeks ago, I was quite surprised to see the deterioration in that portion of the road as well. They're mainly inquiring about when, you know, when. Looking forward, when can we expect to see the road reconstruction begin?
So that good question, and yes, and that stretch of road is included in discussions, right? It's all from Klamathon Bridge all the way up.
Yeah.
Because that, which was a good section of road,
it used to be, and it's
tore up now. So when is going to be? We won't be able to start anything until April or March of next year. It's not. We're in the wrong part of the year for trying to do major road work. It just won't work, and anything that we put down won't last. I will continue to send people up there to do spot maintenance and keep putting Band-Aids on it to keep it drivable. I'm concerned about emergency. I always want to have access to emergency vehicles. That's a must. So we will continue to go up there, cold patch, add base, but there will be no major reconstruction until, like I said, March or April next year.
And I was told, I have been able to verify this because I just got this call this morning, a recent fire that Cal Fire responded to on Copco Road, one of their engines broke an axle.
That I haven't heard, but it is entirely possible.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, thank you. You know, there could be that argument. People say, well, the road was in a certain condition beforehand. I wasn't receiving the phone calls beforehand.
And that is a drum that has been beaten quite a bit.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this, the road was serving its purpose before, and now it's not. And yeah. I have pointed out to Klamath River Restoration Council that if they wanted to put it in the exact condition it was before, that's fine. But it is going to cost them millions more dollars than the solution that we're doing now. Because you'd have to hand patch it all in, and it's not feasible. Yeah. Hmm.
Supervisor Coker?
That's kind of where I am too. So I don't remember the exact words of the MOU, but I believe we said something along the lines of at least the same condition or better.
That's correct. As good or better condition. And so, I mean, that's what's in the MOU. That's what everybody agreed to. They're not wild about it. Who would be? But I don't think they're trying to shirk the responsibility there. Now we're talking about strategies of how to get that done.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm just glad to see this positivity here. You did express that. That's good to have.
Okay.
Thank you.
You okay yet, Mindy?
Let's go ahead and with the next item and then take a break.
I was going to go to D first, and because I'm going to open up C and that 10... D, I think it is together. I think it'll take long, but I think it'll be D anyway.
Can we just take a break now?
Yeah, let's okay. Do that and then okay. Jump into this.
All right.
Because this will take a little bit of discussion.
Yeah. So just okay. You guys know.